two clusters of benefits. I will indicate them on the screen. The first cluster of benefits, which is normally the bigger part in rand percent, is what we call the pension benefits in terms of the government employees pension fund, which all government servants belong to, regardless of service in the sense of the military service or the military. That split into two legs. Those people that have less than 10 years service and younger than the age of 55, they can only get the actuarial interest accrued into the pension fund. What it means here is basically the money that the individual pays in over time, plus the employer's contribution to the pension fund, which is currently 15 or 14% to 7.5%, plus interest accrued. Such a member has the option to take that accrued value and transfer it to another pension fund or take cash. Those members that older than 55 and more than 10 years pensionable service in terms of the rules has the choice either to take the accrued value as indicated for the person under 55, but also has the option to go for a gratuity annuity, means a gratuity of one of long sum plus a monthly pension. In doing so, there will be no trading down of pension benefits in terms of the rules. There is a rule that says if you exit before your retirement age, there will be a penalty. This penalty is waived through the MEP, so there is no penalty. And there is also certain pensionable service that will be added, for instance, when a member dies, when a member are retrenched through a formal retrenchment tax, those additional services of reporting also waived the tax. So one of the big challenges here is obviously that cut-off date of age 55 years of service. But we also understand the reality because if you don't have that cut-off age, you might sit for pension at age 30, then 35, and 40, and you create a lot of liability to such a process. But that is one of the challenges with ISAC and all of this. We can't come to see how we can get around that. The second cluster of benefits, honorable chairman, are those benefits that come from the department, that come from the department budget. The first one is you pay 2 weeks' salary for every 2 years of service. So it means a person that has 30 years of service will get 60 weeks of pay, which is just over the year's salary that you get, for a minimum of 50,000. All the leave due to the member in terms of accrued leave will be paid out and calculated on the salary scale at X. The department will also assist the member to resettle from one location to another location. Due to the nature of the military, we need to move people around. So it might be that the first instance, an infantry battalion in Palaborba coming from the eastern Cape and say, I want to exit, but I want to resettle my family, my household to the eastern Cape area, and therefore the department will pay for such investment in terms of the expenses of firm furniture removal and so on. A very other important factor is the medical provision. If the member has more than 10 years service, such a member will have the option to buy into the RFMCF, which stands for the Regular Force Medical Conciliation Fund, up to the age of 60, and such a member will then be entitled to the free medical through the Medical Conciliation Fund from that date of exit and up to the age of 60 and after aging. The amount to be paid in the currency that change from year to year, but it's in a region maximum at 23,000 to have full cover up medical. The members pro rata service bonus will be paid, that's the third check. That means if a member has 6 months of service after his last birthday, he will get 6 rows of such a benefit. Contractual obligations will member, assist the member to prepare such a member for a second career of his choice. That might be to become a plumber, the infantryman to become an electrician or whatever the case might be. And we do that through different agencies to steal people and help them and advise them and keep them in mind. Honorable Chair, I'm not going to dwell too much on the EIHP benefits because they are basically exactly the same. I will only point out the difference. The one difference is on the pension card. Exactly as I indicated, with the exception that in the case of the military, they get one quarter addition in terms of years of service, the add-on for years of service, while that's not applicable for the civilian process. On the right hand side, there are a few changes in terms of resettlement. They will only pay in the military side, regardless of the member's age, regardless of the years of service, we will assist the member to resettle. In terms of the civilian people, because it's a broader public sector, we can't keep track for them. If the actual expenses, 55 years and all the compensation according to a resolution that was passed in the public service sector in central Barbados. So it's only the older members that they accept in terms of actual expenses. In terms of medical, they did not belong to the military medical scheme and therefore to the broader public service medical dispensation like GEMS, the government employed medical scheme. And again, the 55 years of elder qualifies for what they call post-retirement medical assistance. In those cases, if you don't qualify, the people less than 10 years will be compensated 12 times their contribution, 10 to 5 years, 36 times their contribution, and 50 years plus 2/3 of the employee contribution per month. Money that goes back. I might also say, Chair, I forgot to say that in the case of the military, if the member does not want to buy into the medical conciliation part of the military, he or she will get the contribution back if he or she contributed during her service. The contractual obligation is exactly the same. Likewise, the pro rata service bonus, the state guarantees, the housing allowance, subsidies, and which is unique, I must say, which was not part of the resolution by the Minister of the DUSA in the ministry. So other departments, we felt that we also want to give that to our civilian counterparts to secure their employment. Honourable Chair, I want to go into the statistics part now of the presentation. As I said, the MEM, I will first deal with the MEM, the military part. Now what we see here, up to date, approved by the Minister, because the final approval for the MEM is with the Minister of Defence. After coming through the whole process from Service Chief to Regional Chief through General Mugabe's office up to the Minister. So there's a lot of check and balance to go the process. Approved so far is 2,263. If we look at the ranking breakdown first across, you see from Major General, right down to private, and we have a small portion of auxiliary service people still. That's over 90 of them in service, in fact, facing an outdoor auxiliary service. So we can see we have approved 11 Major Generals. That's about 29% of all Major Generals. All of them were white, to also address transformations of a race infection. She studied 1 brigadier general, 110 colonels, 255 lieutenant colonels. That's round about 18-20% strength of the total strength. But what we also see, that's exactly where specifically colonel rank group 110 and the lieutenant colonel rank group, that's where we still struggle also with race ranking the colonels. And as you can see, the majority of them, we find looking at white. Male violence, the N stands for men and women. We concentrate on the TISP, a much smaller group because they're also smaller. Only 20% of the department, and again we see the rate breakdown 81% white, and we see that in regards to the funds are on salary level 6, which is the equivalent of the warrant officers group within, if you want to compare it with the balance sheet funds. Like that under warrant officers class. The chair then, to indicate the military part in terms of the age group, because it's also important to address rejuvenation through age, see where the stagnation is. That is true to say, and we will see again for rank and opportunity, the higher the rank, the more numbers you will see to the right, people here 55 or 45 years and older, where they lie. Likewise, if we look at the warrant officer class 1 to 332, you will see 190 of them were over the age of 55, and remember the benefit split 100 and over 55. And then I want to focus the attention at the bottom that you will see most, and I add them up, we add up over 45 up to 60 years of age, the majority of people find which is that range. However, we see that 30% of people will be between the age of 30 to 34. We see there is some lieutenant levels and majors, and we see there is some wealth officers sometimes in those categories. The question can be asked why. The reason for that is to find people that's wrong in the rank. You apply your mind in terms of placement, in terms of education, training and development, and applying those different criteria, and not only one of the criteria, a decision is being made to say yes, you can allow the person to function in mobility, to function in gender representation, race representation, and even in some cases the nation. Chair, not so of importance is age on the left side, but we see also 53 members of the people for 21% between the age of 35 and 39. We see again 80% in the bracket 35 to 40. Some people that move on, let's say, they want to explore some other areas. Honourable Chair, when it comes to what we call the budget holders or services in the region, starting from the army, then the far the majority of people come from the SA Army, being the biggest service, 884. We see per financial year, we start in 205 or 6 financial year, 551 last year, and then because it was not the full financial year, because we only started in August 2005, the big number was the 0607, 1,009 members, that was the full financial year. At the previous occasion, here when we reached here, we said we want to plan round about 1,200 men TISP a year, because that's what we can afford. Because you cannot approve everyone, because you cannot afford it, so you must plan it in a proper way. And you can see now we stand on 2.5, roughly speaking, over a 2-year period, 1,230. But you also see in the future of their improvement that will go up next year, 29, so you also improve into the future that the member of the state. The chair, I also want to indicate that it's not only exit through the MEM that we see in the past. People also exit through other methods which help with the whole transformation imperative, but also help in terms of the mobility, specifically in the military side. And what we see on the next slide is a comparison between the exit reason for termination 2005 and the 2007 financial year, the previous financial year. Then we see the contract expiry, that those people's contract came to an end, and where there's no renewal. The majority of them is where people indicate that they don't want to renew the contract. 500 in 05 or 06 going up to 1,023. The reason for that increase was that there was much more emphasis also in creating opportunities to assist national song. That one song was from one department to another, 281 to 830. This is a big success story because we sit with an intervention with the South African police, where some of our older troops we encourage to reskill them and to take up job opportunities where they're not too old, where they can serve a productive career within the police service. And that is the increase there. We will see even a further increase in the year that the city was now. And I think that's a positive note, the contribution there. This program starts steadily, and then now we increase. In fact, last week, there was here in the Western Cape area, talking to the police, and it looks like there's about 200 people. And we must see them also here in relation with our British school development system, where we take the youngsters in at the bottom, feed into the system, and raise all their values. Discharges, 319,194. The main discharges are those people that go on absent without leave, and after 30 days, and upgrading the people there, they discharge in the country. Then there's the medical discharges, medical retirement, we can say more, a retirement on medical grounds, 104,142. Then there's also the resignation that you find in every organization, a decrease of about 200 there from the 1 year to another year. That's about 1.5% turnover, which in fact is well within parameters. Organizations say they're happy if they can keep it under 7%. And then there's also, honorable chair, the normal retirement. People reaching full retirement age, that means age 60 for the military and age 65 for the civilian component, and you see they are about just over 300 pounds. So, over and above the mobility exit mechanism, our exits in the region are 4,000, just over 4,000 through those 16 days. In 2005-6, 12.8% of the exit was due to them. Figures at DIC, which is not indicated here, and in 2007, when there was a full financial year, 18.7%. And it runs around about 30% of all exits on average in terms of the mobility exit for the DIC. Honorable Chair members, in conclusion, we can say that the steady results are being achieved on the stated objectives of transformation. Example, representative age profiles and things like that to the implementation of this. The majority of exits, 37.6%, you find within those language, external and semi-internal warrant officers, where the majority is still white and we need to transform, but we do it in a very careful way, taking all the factors into consideration in terms of exodus and students and like that. 20.9% of all exits are white males in the ranks of external and semi-internal warrant officers. 70% are white. But it's difficult, Chair, to forecast the exact right timing results in terms of the men and the IG. Because at the end of the day, policy, I indicated the changing plan play a major role here, and you sit with people that you really want to exit, but you can't get there because they stick around, although we manage that part of the pre-election process. The tempo of implementation for both the men and the DISP determined their success in the DOD, and we already saw it through the figures that were invested. That is definitely a success story, and I think without the memo of DISP, the department should have been in a much worse position in terms of the right size. We continue with the MEM on a monthly basis, by monitoring it on a monthly basis, how it impacts on our right-sizing transformation objectives, but also in terms of affordability, because the departmental benefits is budgeted for within the human resource budget of the department. The emphasis, as I indicated, is protection planning, and the efforts in terms of the MEM application might speak to those successive plans. Because at the end of the day, as somebody exits, unless you downsize, but you already downsized this Then the presentation is short.
I need to start by saying that as I look through your presentation, we do have the figures on how many have been, and even the issue around the land. But as to how much it costs, the department already has already costed the department so far. Because it is really important that you want. In terms of expenses, how much it would cost the department. And the second place, in terms of it, I don't remember if we did put the time frame of how do we implement the exit mechanism. Then the last point would be the exit. Of members, because the reason why we had to introduce this mechanism was the reason why we had to introduce it was precisely because we acknowledge that the defense force is ailing. So that was the reason, and also other issues around the activity. But as to the question around the right sizing, which maybe should be at 70,000. That was roughly what you said, that there should be a balance between your civilian and your military component. And that's the reason why we've got 76,000 as the size, as between your civilian and your military component. But the other aspect would be that as you encourage people to exit and to take several passage, you rejuvenate. There is a stage at which you will put the balance. Because when you exit, you have your MSD, getting young cadets coming in. And at the same time, in actual fact, if you lose a full kennel or you lose a lieutenant kennel, you have to fill the gap. So it means you must have a comprehensive ranking mechanism. So if you don't have that embodied in your report now, I think it will be in our interest to check what I would think you do is scientific or it's because there's failure from somewhere. So there should be a dialectical relationship between your rejuvenation process, your exit process, and your ranking, such that you should want to come back behind. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson.
On the point of charity, there seems to be a disparity in the figures that you have given us for as at the 3rd and the figures that you give us now as at the 7th of October in terms of actual figures. I think on one case it says it's 22,063, and in the case of the third, it is much lesser. Can you explain that? Why is it 30? And the other is that the statistics you have given us satisfied us in terms of being services specific. It tells us from the Navy somebody went, from the Army somebody went. That's fine. But what it doesn't tell us, what are those positions with mustering that were vacated? And in that way we can have a true measure of the skills that we have lost accordingly. Because it tells us so many people went out of the Navy, but if you look at the newspaper article today, it says that there's a mass exodus of people with critical skills from the Navy. Now, we don't know what those skills are that you're talking about. Why have those people left? So that's why we would like to see, learn what you spoke about having a realistic succession planning and retention initiative. You know, people with skills that you want to retain, you have made effort to do it, but it doesn't seem to be working. Now, what I want to know is fast tracking a part of that process? If you remove somebody, you want to allow someone with skills to go, obviously, because of demographics or whether it's to do with for the sake of age, gender, race, whatever, it is necessary that the person who's going to replace that individual has at least some experience and the necessary relevant skills that you take over. So if you are fast-tracking, if that is part of the process, then that will compromise the many. I think you understand it. You also speak about reskilling, which I'm very glad to hear. It's trying to get people out of the system who have only knowledge of doing one thing, and that is to pull the trigger. So I'm glad to hear that there is a program, but I'm not too sure whether this amount of 13,000 rand is adequate for reskilling and training. Perhaps you can shed some light on that. I mean, I'll leave it at that for now. Thank you.
Just to follow up on the question from the Honorable Shaw, what exactly is the system? The physical education of what you think, I would really like to know. And also, we are saying we are encouraging people to educate. But they are also saying it's voluntary. In the eventuality that people don't see themselves surviving outside the education, what they what happens then? If people don't feel comfortable, and also, I think people are aware of some of the things in the history of those who are already outside. Them not being able to be Christian, for them to be able to say sure any job, work, or doing this section.
Thanks, Mr. Tell it again.
Thank you, sir. I want to be on the slide 14 on active service and other dynamic active mechanisms. I would like to know on the question of termination, contract expired, and all disease expired. I just want to incorporate that. I would like to know whether in this slide there were any female who also part of this. Thank you.
My mind is on this race balancing. I see the difference is so huge, and we are already facing it in government. I'm just asking whether there is any other mechanism or we depend only on those who are retiring, those who are resigning and so on to continue this other basis in order to can balance the race issue. And if we depend only on this mechanism, how many years roughly do you think that we may go at least about 40%? For balancing the races, or have you got any other ideas who can work on this thing that you have specified for 5 years or so on, that within 5 years we'll be getting about 40% or 80% or so on, or is that all maybe on only on this type of legislation? Thank you.
Thank you very much. My question relates to page 7 of the presentation, and I just want to ask whether there is a specific preference for RB members to choose either one of the two, and if there is numbers available to prove that, that members prefer the one for the other. And then coming to the medical provision, I see the general said that a member that enters must contribute 23,000 rand. My question is, will the sector also contribute towards that? And the second question to that is a member exited without participating or joining that medical team, can he come afterwards back to apply for that membership?
I welcome you, Mr. Smith. Do you want to put a question to your choice?
No, Mr. Chair, but thank you for the opportunity. I started being late, I'll try and attend more of these meetings. But can I just ask...
you don't have to try it.
Yeah, maybe just overall, because I think the overall view, you know, is that 70 to 80% of the individuals are basically from the white group, and in particular white males. How does that affect the overall figures concerning targets for recomposition?
So we will try to share some of the questions, and to make it a little bit easier, I will start with some which I'm going to try and report while there is ready time to help each one to prepare himself. The question of the time frame, we have not necessarily put a time frame in terms of the process because it's being voluntary. It's difficult at least to say it will last us this long. That is one challenge. And again, looking at the response of the people, again, we are beginning to say, what is it that happened? And we are saying to ourselves, at a certain stage of this process, it needs to stop. But we haven't said at what time it will stop. But for us to stop it, we will be informed by our ability to do the right side, especially at the lower level and at the middle level. The challenge at the lower level, where this whole problem in terms of balancing up, especially for the race group, is that there is an absence of the young white people joining. And at the middle level, we are challenged by the presence of the white people. I think that is manageable because of age and everything else. They are going to leave. But in future, the challenge is going to be, how then do we bring on board the white community to maintain that balance? So these are the challenges we are facing. No specific time frame.
I'm going to follow up on that one. For me, I don't see a problem if you have your mental management exiting and then social management is why. Precisely because that's where the concentration was in your heart. And that's where the imbalances were created, so it's fine. And the issue still there is also a worry that there is nobody entering, especially at the level of the white cadre. That was never an interest, historically and otherwise. So I don't think you should really say, in order to retain the balance, we'll have them coming in, because isn't it what you call it, the pyramid, a structure such that the top management would be those, and the bulk of those would be those in terms of power. So we are trying to either flatten the pyramid or make sure that there is a reasonable balance in terms of your, even if it's 25 to 70%, it's a reasonable balance. So I will, because at some point I heard the minister saying that they cannot force people to come in there, or we must try our level best to accept white young colors. Those who get affected there at some point
start saying that the target was the measure management. So far, the issue is always when. Such that they can kill those rats. So at the highest level, because we did make plans when we started the summation. So, I deal with the issue. I know that we put the general who were already aged at a high level, and from there they moved out. And the medical money is replaced by those who wanted to be covered, such as they take the education. Thank you.
Thank you. Did you follow that? Well, when you think about your mathematical action, and you at the same time, you find that there's no impact of our wife compassion, our vision, our wife compassion to join. I'm thinking of that positive impression. Have you done your research to establish this why? Because I would have been there in South Africa in the past year, and here's an opportunity. Rather than to begin to question the affirmation, but here it is open. But because they say it's not interest, have you done any research as to why are they not wanting to be part of this?
So to say research, I think I would better say no specific research, but we have been observing the challenges. Even those
anybody. So if you say this is a defense force of South African people to defend South Africa as a country, you see, then it becomes acceptable. But if you say that this defense force is for Africans and the black people, it has no space for white color. Because you see the reasons why which we need eyes to introduce anti-blackism, which was not decided because we are targeting at the state people. You say the army is aging, the defense force is aging, and they were to put in a balance, etc. So there were good reasons to actually introduce some of the initiatives too. So as fellow South Africans in South African schools should be equally accepted to this noble cause, such that when they get back and then they realize that we're not getting back, we're not calling back to history, we're actually accepting everybody to move forward, such that opportunities are won, even their ranking, their promotions and everything is won. So in that way, it becomes easier for conscious new South Africans to actually be accepted. Maybe at some point, I think the challenge of becoming a communicating chief of the South African National Defense Force, such that you can attract a lot of people. But I don't see a problem. But as long as people say it in a strict way, then it's not the problem.
Comments are coming from the seminar, but I think we can proceed, but we can also start by the second one that we should have. Because here we're trying to find out why I serve by the research. At the same time, we're coming up with pieces that can also be looking. I think even other members can come up with some more other ideas. Because at the end of the day, more than 90 kind of stuff that through that research, that's the fund members, I think.
Thank you, sir. We have taken note of the issues raised, and it is also our concern because we are required to make sure that as far as representativity within the defense force, race, gender, these are the issues we are expected to look at and make sure that the final defense force is in line as far as government imperative is concerned. We take note of what is happening. Then moving further in terms of aging, right sizing, and rejuvenation, trying to address those. The challenge with aging where we are having a big problem is that the lower level, as indicated there, are not in terms of their age again at that age of 55. Mostly you find them between the ages of 25 to 39, 40. This is where they are. And because of the pension benefit, which is not attractive, it doesn't make them eager to go out for them. So that's like one. Two, because of the skills they have, and as several of you indicated, that it is called outside the department, and therefore to be able to fit into the normal civilian skills, they don't have those kind of skills, and therefore they are reluctant to move. Now this is where then recruitment is challenging, in terms of how then we address that. Presently, the part of the program, as Senator Vegas indicated, is that we have linked up with the Department of Safety and Security. This is where the figure of 200 has gone to 823, because people are beginning to go towards that direction. And we have also linked up with some of the tracking people in terms of tracking here for drivers. They are also beginning to take people there. So there is an interest from the tracking company to take ministry or ex-ministry people. And this is where we're beginning to attract them. And as they go out, in terms of the pay in that environment, again, some of them have doubled up with their salary. So those are beginning to become success stories, and therefore a number of them are beginning to
customs people. We are beginning to hit up because, again, with the coming challenges in terms of the future and the number of international airports that might go up and the border control come the 2010, they are looking for people. So they've approached us. So again, we are leading up. So by so saying, in terms of aiding the most affected people at the lower level, because of age, the expensive benefit is not good. And again, they do not have right skills to go out. So in terms of empowering them for driving skills, going forward to the police service, this is what we are able to manage better in terms of rejuvenation and aging.
Yeah, there is an aspect there, because when you encourage people to exit, you can't solely use the rank as a yardstick for second. Because if you use the rank, there won't be any benefit in that. Because while I know that there are people who join at the age of 18, the South African is not defense force. And at the age of 39, they are still much in time in either being a corporal or a private. If they have got promotion, at most they will be sergeant from across the color spectrum. So I'm just saying, if you've got a person like that, which was more than 20 years in service, but there's no, even this person has no potential to even get into the next level of ranking. So how do you accept them? So you can't use the rank only. You can simply say that the other criteria would be a service, which is from 10 years to 20 years. Then from there, of course, you attach a target to that, and that person will be accepted. Because obviously this is a person you want to move out, because you realize that this person has reached a ceiling, can't go beyond the sergeant. So how do you accept him out? You can't use rank only. So you have to use another method to accept him into taking the passage. So I'm just saying that if that is not used as a criteria, one of the criteria, you can start looking into it. Because it's just an idea I'm having, because you can't say to the person move when this person is dead, that when he moves, wherever he's going to, he's not going to destroy into being integrated into the political society and getting a better job. But the other aspect I wanted to raise was that the Department of Defense, at the inception of this mechanism, was supposed to have spoken to a number of departments. I remember that we were actually speaking to the Public Works Department. We had an audience of the Public Works, and we were saying that in our mind, we've got all these people who will be moving out. They have to prepare conditions for them to be absorbed. So if you use a department and there is candidate position, in terms of cooperation, then you will never have problems in having people can hear as well. Because in public work, they are in a position to ready to skill anyone who can be absorbed in them. Thank you.
why we were that way.
I don't think I would want to engage on the way on this one, but I think the MEM figures that you give us are very clear that it's not intended to attack either the SADF or if you look at the gender of the people or the race of people that are majority of them are white. I'm not sure whether you can make that argument. However, Chairperson, I think, would I be correct, if I'm incorrect, you can stop me and say I'm not correct. Would I be correct if I made an observation by saying that the problem we have right now is the fact you have an MEM system, which is well intended, but in the process you are losing crucial critical skills, and let's face the fact that that is so. But it's compounded by another fact, and that fact is that the MSDS hasn't exactly lived up to its expectations. Now that is another fact. And I can back it up with figures, but I don't want to do that now because I don't want to engage on that. But the fact of the matter is that the MSDS system is crucial. MEM is also crucial in terms of your right sizing, for your transformation in terms of gender, race, whatever that is. And on both ends, you're failing, and that is the problem we are sitting with. That's my observation. I may be wrong, but that is my observation.
everyone who raised this issue was just so confused and raised it at some point, which is available. And some of the issues raised by Honorable Boy are critical because there are new issues about the national, the NSF. How the record, etc. Those questions are not asked, but if the call comes to your attention, so we will answer it.
Okay. This is the reason why, Honorable, I asked this for follow up questions to the questions that are being answered in my particular point of time. Honorable Boy, is it a follow up? Subject matter, is it a follow up? Or we give the generalization to continue to answer the questions that have been already asked? Then
you
will come back for the
second
round of questions.
No, Madam Speaker. In fact, I was concerned that in the way the questions are asked and following up. That is what I fear that now we're discussing at the same time. I think Honorable Nari has.
Okay.
Madam Chair, in preparing for this presentation, we developed a lot of backup slides to anticipate some of the questions. Now, I must say I can show you some backup slides in answering some of the questions. There is, however, a few that we can apply with your permission, Madam Chair. And I want to start from the top. The question was asked about the cost. What does it cost the men? I don't have slides of the exact figures with me, but it's in the region of 118 million per year that this program costs the department. But I can, with your permission, Madam Chair, give a breakdown in detail per financial year. Those information is readily available. I think General McGregor dealt with the time frame to a large extent. The question was asked, what about the balance between civilian and military? Within the Defense Review update figure of 70,000. Madam Chair, currently the Defense Force full-time component stands under 70,000, of which 8,000 are MSG airmen. So if we subtract the 8,000, then we impact on 68,000. The civilian component in British in the Defense Review was in the region of about 20 to 21%. And currently it's just under 18%. So there is a good balance between civilian component and the military component. And we plan it also for it. But Madam Chair, what's also more important is we talked about the one force concept, referring to reserves and both regiments. Currently, seven forces joined in 94 form the SANDF of today. And today, Chair, the SANDF, those are the people who joined the Department of Defense, I'm talking now military and civilian, who had no affiliation with former force, start becoming out of the issue. They just on 28,000, 29,000. Those are the people who joined them in 1994. While the old SADF was the biggest group, and they becoming now a smaller group, although still the second line, we have exactly those figures. What's the breakdown for former force? But what are more important, in time to come, in 20 years, 10 years from now, there will be no former force competition anymore in the Defense Force, will only be SANDF. On that point of balance force and linking to the exit mechanism, Madam Chair, of the 2,506 employees on the board who left the department through MEM and EISD, that's the people who simply left, here are the breakdowns for former force. Former Airplane 77, Bob, over the 2,000 for 20, by far the largest majority, because they were also the biggest group. That's under 2,000, old SAAS, 238 SAAS, those figures, it's important to also mention that the former net is not 74%. We exactly know 21,136 former non-74% integrated to the bus. We exactly know who are currently serving today. Let's have a look where the honorable members referred to in terms of legacy structure and the service are those members who integrated and since left. You trace some of them records because they're vetted, etc., etc. But when a former NSA member, for instance, left through the MEM, they will get the recognition in terms of the NSA dispensation for those years serving NSA, taking the 5% contribution that the member might take into consideration. Madam Chair, the question was asked on the clarity on the figures. The reason this presentation was due, I think, somewhere in October, and we issued that on the 23rd of October, the presentation. We updated with the latest figures because this figure is changing from day to day with the figure of 7th of November, and the figures indicated today as 7th of November. So it's an update from the 23rd of October figure. Madam Chair, a very interesting question on the mud springs and the retention of fuel. We said that it's part and parcel of this process, and I want to commit, Honourable Chair, that I don't have the breakdown for mud spring of the 2,500 odd people who exit, but it's available. Next time I think you can bring the whole database. I can provide it in a very short space of time, and I undertake to do so. Right. Chair, the question was asked on succession planning and fast tracking. There was also another question in terms of how does it contribute to the overall representativity of the department. Honourable Chair, I have a backup slide here that I want to show that I think will clarify this question to a large extent. Here what we see here is that as the 1st of September, the representativity situation in the Department of Defense for blacks, including Africans, colors, and Indians, indicated in gray, and the white indicated in yellow. And we see down the left, from the season of the Defense Force, right down to the private candidate office of the Ranger. To explain the graph, let's use Colonel as an example, or Major General. There are 26 black Major Generals today in the Defence Force, which constitutes 70% that we have today. There are 11 white Major Generals, which constitutes 30%. In terms of the defence of you, where that red line runs, that's ideally where you all wonder, is practical possible to get over rank levels at 76% ready for 4% as indicated in the defence outcome. So clearly we can see, we use colonels as an example, 39% of all colonels today is black, and 61% are white, 490%. And if we link this now into the MEM figures, then we exactly see how this will contribute to move that line up there, and specifically as opposed to the Robert officers, and I think the figure was over 300, and how that will move that line up there. But you need to do it also in a responsible way. So the most representative environment defined over here, and to a large extent here in the south side, because what we must understand is that those captains and majors here find themselves here today, but see into that environment by growing their own business. And that's how we plan. So it's possible if you look at the data of all 490 people here today, the rank level, how long it will take to move that line, say, here up towards the red line, if possible. But growing your own numbers, we need to do it in a responsible way. And programs like fast tracking is part of the process to try and achieve this. I might jump, however, to another slide to indicate the fast tracking scenario working at a fast track. And I will use kernels as an example. All those colonels, 800 of them, here we see all races, the situation in terms of years in the rank, from 1 year up to 21 years,
ensure that we don't steal people for the sake of steal, but that we align with the market needs. Steal for the market and not steal for the sake of steal. That's the approach. A very important concept that we have high hopes for, Honorable Chair, is a word that you might have heard in the past, is the works regiment. The works regiment that will come in play now specifically from next financial year onwards, where we put two things together. There's a big need to upgrade certain infrastructure in the department, to work with public work, and to skill our people, those aging troops specifically, where the benefit is maybe not that big to exit, but to skill them in another direction, for instance, the construction industry. And as you skill them, and you get the benefit of upgrading the facilities of the department, to give him or her another skill, which will facilitate the migration to the outside world in a much easier way. Although the emphasis is there not so much on the exit, but more to give the skill and to upgrade the facility. And she is now getting off. Honorable Chair, there were some questions asked on slide number 14. I think the question was, in terms of the contract expiry, how many members are female members in terms of the contract expiry? And under 1,023, I don't have that exact how many females were involved in that group, but it's on our database, and I have also undertaken that right exact indicated number of females. I think we dealt with the quick challenge in terms of rate balance and how long will it take by the illustration on the current representativity picture and how it is fast tracking. On slide 7, the question was asked, how many people avail them for this option who's over the age of 55 to either take the actuarial business or that option? By far the majority, and I don't have the exact figure, sir, by far the majority take the option of graduating in a year. While in the days of the voluntary severance package, it was the vice versa. Today, people don't go that option. There are a few people that take this option. And we also advise sometimes, although we're not financial advisors, financial advisors are not people, and I believe that it's a better option. But those figures can also be provided as well. The slide and question was asked on the 3,000 medical, and can the member come back on the medical continuation? Honorable Chair, unfortunately, there's a one-off choice.
When a member exits here,
he must exercise his choice to buy it or not to buy it. Can't come back at a later stage. However, we advise people to take up that option. And I mentioned the 23,000. That is the maximum amount people with less service, because if you say 30 years of age, then you must buy into age 60. People that's older of age, the amount is much less than the 23,000. In the civilian side, it's a total different story, because the many people are not part of the medical continuation fund of the military. They're part of the private medical team, like them, MediHealth, and so on. And only the people over the age of 55 have their choice, and it's also a one choice. So, in terms of medical, the state still contributes, as in the case of a normal retirement, for the civilian people. So the one-third contribution of the state continues in terms of the civilian aviation. I'm basically through, Chair. The question was asked.
I thought it was based on the program.
Correct, sir. Two-thirds take on, one-third never contribute.
Correct.
We indicate the 70%, right, and how does it overall influence
challenge is, however, to train those members to exit the administration. But if a member, a former non-statutory board member, enters through the mail, and he or she pays the 5% and does not sit with any debt in terms of state of debt, he or she will get exactly the same benefits from the pension fund as the statutory government. Provided that the recognition is given in terms of being the official status and the member integrated through the process, and the serving member today has access to the mobility. Honourable Chair, I think that takes care of most of the questions.
Just inform members that we are left with 45. I don't know why I say this, I'm not again. The reason I'm saying this is because we are going to have our lunch in booth control. So it's a long walk. I don't know, and they maintain that they cannot shift the house. So let's agree, members, that why don't you take it up until 1:15? So that we try to cover some of the questions that we have coming before you. And the other thing is that I'm having, this is the second round of questions that is coming up, and I could hear that Comrade Boy did ask a question. There's a question on what he got from the government this morning. I don't know whether you want to take on that and you want to put on, because I'm having four hands with Comrade Nyami, that is Kuma, at the Munarang, at the I'm having those hands, unless you want to respond first, or you want to ask the question, but you like.
I'm just saying that this is quantify one of the problems that is communication to have a type of information that is available. I still think that the information that you were told of that person received your backup, that was of interest, it was clear that there's not much information available for what is happening. But you know, I want to bring in a question of this particular related. The exit mechanism is not to talk to what now I've just in data where I know that it is a report that about 94,653 people in the area that is in your latest report that is covered up now. And still the people you are existing when he's talking about perspective. But there's this mammoth problem that the FNBA position is about 4,633. I think even a small figure better for what you call an achievement in the Department of Customer Service Department. And then I'm not trying to come to the center. What is special about you to use this mechanism of yours to feel support and to grow some of the communities that you can underline the community of the country. Of course, the mission is to be able to do it. Are you done? And go on.
Thank you. See, I'm asking this question well knowing that I haven't attended the whole meeting, so it might be out of order. But it also relates to what our colleague has just asked, and this is what is the unintended consequence of this exit mechanism? And it relates to all these vacancies in vital areas of management, area of skills such as say mechanic or management or in the medical field, because we hear of certain quite sort of scary figures at certain areas of the defense force where for example there's doctors there. Now if this is the unintended consequence of an exit strategy, how great is this problem, and what is being done to prevent that kind of unintended consequence?
Thank you,
Colleague. Yeah, it's a perfect. I was going to like reflect what the DX said for my friend Shah around the what he saw in the newspaper and the newspaper report around the skills that this exit mechanism is in a perfect contributed in the lot of skills. And you see, I don't want to say that, you see, when you are against the process or you don't like the process, and there should not be assumption that the process unfolds such that when the skills get lost, it's because of the process. I'm sure that when we started the process, we identified the need that the different qualifications, and in a way we should track a balance. So maybe that may be an unintended consequence of the mechanism. But that was, I just wanted to check if it's unintended, precisely because there are a lot of white skills getting lost, or there are skills getting lost, you see, because when you talk about a skill, both black and white, who exist, have a skill. You see, MK cadres who joined the ranks to make it the South African National Defense Force, they came with skills. And those who were in the South African Defense Force, and they were there serving for many years, they had skills. So there's no way in which you can come up with this mechanism not to have a situation where we lose skills. You see, so whatever way you want to control it, somewhere, somehow, you must lose skills. But at the same time, you must embrace a plan which makes it possible to replace those skills. But the last point I want to raise is that as much as you say these people have existed and the skills are lost, in South Africa has not lost skills. As soon as those people go to Iraq, that's when we can complain that they've lost skills. But if they get into public work, they get into other departments, as it was explained earlier on, you see, then South Africa has not lost skills. South Africa is actually finding a balance in terms of racial imbalances which affected the South African political force in terms of how it was composed in the past. But currently, the question the chairperson is asking. It is definitely an important issue that, look, anything you do, even if you make a plan, you come up with a turnaround strategy, there will always be unintended consequences. There will be so we cannot blame the Department of Defense for saying that because there are unintended consequences, they are not doing anything. Obviously, any mechanism or martial plan, you matter. Will always have hiccups in the process, but the intention in the final analysis is that you should correct those unintended consequences. But the issues of loss of skills, I heard about it, and it continues to ensue in our meetings, and it becomes a problem. The health issue, we don't lose. I don't think there is an intention of the South African Department of Defense to come up with an exit mechanism such that it can throw away skills. That was not the intention, and I'm sure that in its objective, they did explain that aspect. Then the skills are lost. Maybe they are attracted to other departments like AMSCO, which also complains that it loses skills. But most of the people who move from the Defense Force go to AMSCO. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Firstly, I would like to know, there was this slide that was dealing with benefits of the soldiers. Seemingly, in the army, I don't hear much talking, when you speak of the benefits, talking much about insurance. Because in many other public service, it's always encouraged that people must be covered. If you have got life insurance, you have got endowment insurance, you have got group insurance, you have got short-term insurance, you have got long-term insurance. Now, this type of work that is done by soldiers is a risky type of work, and therefore there is a need of educating them and encouraging them that they have to be covered for insurance in case something happened to the particular individual. Particularly, a question of group insurance is usually encouraged among teachers, encouraged among police. I don't hear much speaking about the question of insuring these people, so that when they come out, if anything happens to them, is injured, if he's disabled, if he dies, must have been covered. Thank you.
Thank you, Ombre. I think, General, the question directly talks to what happened in Johannesburg without opening the events, because there's a report that is still coming. Why is because there was this two things. First is that misleading information about the 75,000. Secondly, when we begin to hear the department saying we are fundraising, am I correct? There was a fundraising that was done by the department. Then you begin to ask yourself, why fundraise? Fundraising is done amongst families and communities. But when you begin to hear, even if it's an honorable thing to do amongst colleagues, but to come up and begin to hear in the media that there is this fundraising being done for this particular, it had a very negative bearing, as if our government is not a caring government in other circumstances. That is why the question is coming from the committee and saying, well, what measures are being put in place to cover for such incidents? Is there anything that is there that begins to cover for such incidents within the army, so that people outside there must begin to hear and know that there is this kind of an arrangement, that rather than people hearing the negative, as if now we were trying to assist people who are would be unable to bury their dead. And we assume that responsibility as government because that happened within and during the course of duty. So we know pretty well then that the interpretation outside them must then to say certain things have been covered, so that even the families, because you could sense from the families also to begin to question what is actually happening. That then, that particular question that the Honourable Member came up with to then say, are there any measures that have been put in place? Are there any policies that cover our young men and old in that matter, who in the situation of that nature find themselves in that kind of a situation? If you may also touch on that. I'm saying this because I know pretty well the complete army, so the matter is recorded and people want also to hear as to what really caused us to begin to say we're fundraising. Thank you, man.
Thank you, sir. I will at least address the first question, which is indicating the question of rank and the availability of information. I think, through you, sir, these are probably separate issues, because the scope and the auditing part of it is addressing the issue of where the information is missing. It was a rank review process. I think it's about, if my figure is correct, it should be about 284 people we're talking about here. I think that's a different process, Honourable Member, in terms of that information. I've been handling that one, I'm aware of what actually happened there. But for the issue of the exit mechanism, the information is available in terms of the people who are handling. But now, what happened there is something which is separate. So I won't go to that one. But if at another time, probably when the time arises for it, we can be able to provide the correct information of what happened.
No. Well, why don't you promise us? Sorry. Because I'm saying to the Secretary, every promise that you make,
yes,
you have to honor it.
Yes.
I'm saying this because previously, you make such promises and you never come back to us with such information. And some members in other committees, they say it's another act strategy when you're before a portfolio committee, then they would provide the information. What we want is really is to then say, if you say that information is there, because we would have expected that information to be here, to then say next week this day, that information will be before the members. Because if we need to call you back, we have to call you back on the basis of the information that you've given us. Can we then make that commitment to then say by next week that information will be before?
Yes, I've got the information, Chair. If it's needed in writing, we can at least make it visible just to explain what happened there in terms of the rank review. And even those members, how many are still in the service, how many have died, how many have left, and how many have been promoted, and all that is available. But I think what we're talking about here in terms of the affairs and why we had to go through this route, that when the process was audited by the Auditor General, it transpired there were certain, in terms of the information needed, certain information not available. And again, instead of originals, it was copies of certificates. So these are the challenges which we're facing. Could not get the originals, but they were photocopies, not the originals. So I think that's the challenge in terms of the auditing.
No. As you see, last year's financial year, we were poised with that question. And that is what caused the department to get a disclaimer in our areas. And from the look of things, the matter is not resolved. Because the treasury cannot recognize or acknowledge expenditure on it says that it is on what do you call it? It is on
expenditure in terms of treasury language. Actually, when the scope was
unauthorized.
Yes, it's unauthorized. Precisely because when you try to justify it, you can't get records. So it is not a treasury problem, it's a department problem, because those records lost somewhere, they got lost somewhere. You see? And those records are records of the former, the ex-combatants. You get my point? So that's where the problem is. Precisely because somebody put that information somewhere, either throw it in the bin or somewhere. But that, it means there was a resistance for the promotion of these people, because that was thank reviewers. So for me, it's very serious, in a sense that we did even make suggestions last year that this should be done such that the department has to go and convince the treasury that this is what happened. That is why they cannot trace back those copies, because the evidence, which is concrete, is photocopies. So it means even in future, if you have to deal with that thing, you cannot resolve it.
Can I take also Comrade Siami at the right?
No, I think Comrade Ofa has put where the problem is, Chapter 10. That I respect what the general says, but in essence, what is, I mean, from where we are coming, it just disqualified, it just made them not to qualify again because of this rank review. And you see, it's not a new problem until the general realizes, because besides creating a qualification problem for them, it does create a problem that how do they get the record? What records are they using when they're putting these figures together? You see? And you might just end up, if they can't satisfy, I mean, treasure, what about us? Who are not consistently looking for the type of documentation that says this is the rank, this is the person, and this is what is happening. We more rely on the department to give us the information. And I'm saying that going back to treasury, it's their testimony that there is a lot of information and documentation that's not available. And structurally, to tell you, my general, that's not the only thing that is not in the books that makes it too big to get a qualification, because a lot of things that you have in the department don't have paperwork. That's why you are being disqualified. So if you are going to sit to us next week, you'll have it. While you yourself are acknowledged from your side that these things are not there. These are photocopies. And I was thinking to treasury, maybe it's a political tension that is, these are the things that we talk about that create racial problems. You know, that who gets promoted might be white, or who gets promoted might be black, and it just creates a problem. So if the general thing, because he has human resources, it's an easy problem. It's an easy problem in the way he's talking. It might just not what, out of what I know, out of my own experience, it's not what they're talking about. You're going to be, you're quite misleading us. As I said, I've hinted to do, from what I've listened to today, I do think that the sector has misled Parliament in a way. But we'll talk about that when we give a report. But I'm just saying to you, if you want to do that statement, you might just be very careful that you're bordering on very serious grounds of misleading Parliament.
Said through you, I'm saying the rank review is a set number of people, it's in terms of, as indicated by the honorable member, that they were NSF members. There are certain intakes which are coming through. It's Woodspray, it's Dupert, and it's Colonel One. And they went through the process and they were ranked. And then there was a requirement to review their ranks which were awarded through the process of integration. And that was done. But the very difficult thing, which is, as you rightly said, I agree 100% with what the honorable member is saying, is that in terms of what's in their files as we speak, some information is not there, and nobody's going to be able to get that information because it's not there. And some information is not supposed to be copies in terms of the file, it's supposed to be original. Nobody's going to be able to get those originals. And that's the challenge. But we in terms of what's missing, what's a copy, and then what we are requiring from the Auditor General in terms of that process, that information can be made available, not necessarily to correct it, but to explain what happened. But to get the documents which are missing, it's going to be difficult as original.
Oh, but what fails you to say exactly what you're saying now to the Auditor General when you presented your report? Because these are the things that they wanted to appear there. Because now you are saying it. So then say, no, these are the key challenges that we're faced with. These things will never be obtainable. These are obtainable. This is exactly, I mean, it's a simple thing, very simple, to simply come up and say these are the issues, rather than to get a qualified audit report because you were unable to impress upon them that we will never be able to get this information. We'll always provide you with a copy. And then you begin to discuss the mechanism of addressing that particular problem. Did you make that attempt? Because I'm saying this because we own up as members whenever there's a qualified audit report. That's why members are coming, because year in and year out, they keep on saying this must happen. And when you come back to us, you haven't attempted to do anything to begin to address that kind of a thing. It looks as if then, as the honorable member saying, you are then misleading Parliament time and again. And you are not acting on the issues that were recommended by the very same committee. I think this is one thing that the members are bringing up. I'm then saying, have you done that? To convince them so that it must reflect on their books to then say the reason why is just because of this reason, whereby they can now buy into it, rather than to begin to question you.
Through you, sir. Under the chairmanship of Mr. Masilela, we had a sitting with the AG members and in terms of his disqualification, and one of those was this rank review. And then, having discussed with them, they were already disqualified anyway. So having discussed with them before appearing this, before this COPA, we had to do certain things. And from my office, this is why I'm able to explain, we have indicated exactly along the lines and then signed the document going to the minister so that it can be taken up. So to explain, we have explained the challenge we find ourselves in. And we'll explain what we can do for each and every member, what is the status of the file, and requesting condonement of what has happened through that process. So I would say we are trying our best, and this is what we've done lately, and probably it might be about 2 to 3 weeks back, if I'm correct in terms of time.
Members, Mr. Boy and Mr. Shah. You know, sir, I want to read this to you so that you understand that what you are telling us is not true. It says, with reference to paragraph 4.4, page 263 of my previous report, the department could still not submit sufficient and appropriate documentation in terms of the set criteria supporting the validity of its separate rank adjustment for audit purposes. I'm saying this is what I just picked up in this COPA today. And you are saying, I'm just saying, they are telling us now, as the people are monitoring this department, that your documentation is not correct. So how do you convince us? You see, this is what I'm saying, that you are trying to convince us. I mean, we are sitting with a problem that they are getting us the qualification every time. And you have made this presentation to Treasury, and Treasury is saying to us, you don't have documentation. And you are making us to believe that you do have that documentation. And this is making you to get the quality, and we are sitting with you as a problem. Now we are going to be viewed as members of parliament as not performing our responsibilities. And if you consistently say this, I must say that we are really entering dangerous grounds. I'm repeating myself to say that you're beginning to mislead parliament. You're not misleading me, you're misleading parliament. And it's very dangerous because I'm saying, I'm reading what I'm told by Treasury, and after Treasury has done its own verification.
I don't want to prolong, but all what I'm trying to say is the documents I'm talking about and the explanation of to what extent can we rectify what has been indicated in that report? It's something which we have submitted through the channel about 3 to 2 weeks back. Now, whether then that has reached the AG's office presently as we speak, I would venture to say that report probably has been written, and when they did the audit, that's the report they did. But then to explain later on, having a look at that report, and then for them to respond to that, I think it's still in the process. I don't think it's there yet. But we have done from the office and the department, we'll look at that, trying to address it.
Am I correct to then say it's after the fact? Why I'm saying this, because you say about 3 weeks back, and the report, your annual report was tabled around about September. Now you acted on the issues that were then raised by the AG to begin to correct them. That's what I'm saying, that the Treasury has raised these issues. It's only now that, okay, that's why then the Treasury won't be talking about those issues. They're talking about what they recorded for the financial year. That we're concerned about. This is exactly what we're going to begin to debate ourselves. Now, I'm then saying the Treasury won't change from what he is saying, because the reason why you got a qualified audit report is based on that. That is not going to change. That is why I was then saying earlier in time, why didn't you? Well, before the report was then tabled by the AG to raise this issue. It's only now that you are acting on what the AG has just raised as far as that document is then saying. You are now acting on those issues. That's why the honorable member says, but it looks as if we're not talking the same thing. You are talking about the annual report that has been tabled, an annual report that is qualified, and it's not convincing. Yes, you say 3 weeks ago you have submitted to them saying this is the actual issue. But I don't think the AG is looking for that now, because they're questioning us to then say, previously you did not provide them with this information. It's only now that you are coming up to respond to what the AG picked up. I think that is that's where we are. But having said that, I think there must be a process, Comrade Nyame, Comrade Munarenge, and others, to then say, we have to once again to bring you back, together with the AG. Because I do suspect that it's a pity that the sector is not here. Your internal audit, I suspect that is very weak. Very, very, very weak. I'm saying this because some of these issues should have been addressed by that particular team. Now, my big question is, if you begin to realize that there is this shortcoming within your department, the Treasury is always there to assign in promotion of the intergovernmental interdepartmental relations, whereby they can assign a person to sit with your audit team just for 6 months to begin to look into the issues that the members are raising. I'm saying this because members make recommendations into the House which the department must begin to comply with. But if year in and year out the department is not complying with those recommendations which were adopted by the House, by Parliament in that matter, well then it clearly indicates that it's defiant. I'm sorry to say. But it's clearly indicated, it should be indicated that you are defiant. That is Parliament at the end of the day, because we cannot continuously come up with recommendations and find that the department is not responding to those issues. Two people are doing oversight. It's the AG, it will come up with its recommendations, and the members of Parliament will come up with recommendations and say to the department, please, can you attend to these issues? We are not playing a game, to be honest. But what is critical is that begin to act on these issues, because we pass those, that is the budget. So we are then wanting that kind of cooperation even from yourself. Then the second thing then is what we said to the sector, that at least we have to have these quarterly meetings so that we begin to hear as to how far did you go regarding the agency recommendations and the recommendations that have been made by the committee. This then suggests that before March this coming year, we should meet and then begin to see how far you are going regarding the recommendations that you made before the strike plan, well before that is the budget vote take place. So we need that kind of information from your side. But there is a hand coming from Mr. Shah, then coming to you, that Fisa, then the last person on the show is Comrade Boy.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm now beginning to understand the concern, which is genuine concern from the part of the Honorable Bui. Now I'm beginning to understand. If a person's rank and promotion is affected because of deficiency and or missing document in his file, then it is a travesty of justice. I think what we need to determine, and maybe we can see clarity here, is who is responsible for those documentations, firstly. Secondly, when somebody submits a document in any department, whether it's a government department, private sector, wherever, they ask you for original and an attested copy. They take the original from you for a certain specific period and they might give it back to you. However, in order to confirm that they are genuine, they would keep the vote first. Now, in this case, if no original was submitted, only a certified copy or a copy was submitted, that could be also problematic because this is a crucial issue. This is about, it's a security cluster, it is to do with security of the state, etc. Now, the department then will have to verify that this certificate that is included here in this file and CV, is it genuine or not. If that was satisfied and a copy of the original was submitted and it was on file and it was lost, then it is the department's fault. And then that person, he's suffering in his rank because of the lack of management and responsibility on the Department of Defense. Now, they must tell us, in these instances, is it because only a copy was posted, put into the file, and that they were not satisfied as to the genuineness of that copy? Is that the case? If not, then they must take responsibility. Thank you.
Comrade Fisher. I'm taking the last hand, Comrade.
Amongst other solutions.
What's the there? Can I just make an announcement?
Yeah. Amongst other solutions, it was brought about by
then, can I just make an announcement?
Okay.
I'll allow you. We say it's 1:21. And I think, let's take the last hand, the last round from yourself, and run to Good Hope.
Okay.
We are scheduling department. We are going to request you to come back again this coming week. To wrap up, either Wednesday, we'll make an application, Tuesday or Wednesday, because we still have other business that we're going to deal with. But we would allow we'd allow you to come back so that we wrap this thing, because we want to come up with stronger recommendations at the end that are going to begin to act on.
I was saying, when the AG, that gentleman was giving this report, the AG, when he was asked about the solutions of the problem, because he was saying that the qualified issues are increasing every year. Now, he was saying there was an expert that was employed, but his services terminated. The department needs an expert to work with them in order to address this question of qualification.
Then it's getting closer to what we've been talking about. Come on, yeah, I will take you being the last, and you have to wrap up so that they can respond to the outstanding questions so that we can rush for lunch. No, I think Dr. Fisher has slightly said what I want to say. You know why I'm saying to the general, it's really the bottom line now. You know what the AG have shown there is that rather than the department improving, where they are seated now, the department has slided down at the managerial level. So there's not going to be any improvement this year. You can go into denial now. You're going to meet the same problem next year. That's what the AG was trying to hint to us. And what the AG says, he says, lack of sufficient appropriate supporting documentation and approval to provide audit evidence that the members were eligible for promotion as part of the rank adjustment process. They say they are not able to live up to that. And it's not the first year. They've done it before. And they say this thing, what we are getting confronted with is that they are shifting, where they will remain permanently in being qualified for what they are providing. And we
try to hint to Treasury to say, let's find a political solution. They say, it's not our business. That's the business of the committee to go and talk about that matter. And I'm saying, the department fails to tell us the truth, so that we can deal with this matter and be able to go head on and find a political solution for this thing. But it's not new. Those who were there were dealing with the integration report, we made it very clear even then that for us to close the integration process, we'd have to acknowledge that there's no availability of information. And it seems to haunt the department now. And I know General is a very kind man, but at the end of the day, it's not about kindness. The point is, we need to find a solution to this problem. But unless you tell us the truth, and the Honorable Member Fisher is saying, he is saying experts were put into the department to assist the department to find a solution to this problem. And they have finished their contract, nobody, and a very new person has been put on to follow this problem, and it seems not to be there to resolve the problem. And unless another department speaks to this issue, and we find a solution. And he deals with overall human resource. And I'm forewarning him that if he's going to lead in this, he's going to talk in this manner and promise us again, he might have faced serious problems that it's not about him. It's because that the whole of defense is going to go down. And he must realize the problem.
Why don't we agree that your responses? Why don't you agree that we will meet on Wednesday this coming week? Unless you are burning. But the problem is that we have to get into the house at 2 o'clock, and we have to have our lunch. Why don't we agree that we suspend the business? And we meet on Wednesday this coming week. We'll interact. No problem. We'll interact as we move on, because as we are having our lunch, members will also be interacting with your staff, so that when we come back, we are then able to move on and round up. Because I think we are, as you can hear, members are beginning to come up with proposals and recommendations. Now we're